Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Good Friday.
It is Good Friday.
So, talking about shame, guilt, feelings with Dr. Fiennes. Now talking hymns.
I'll try not to be too excited since it's Good Friday.
Hymns, I think, shape that hymn. Well, we'll talk to the expert. Hymns shape, I think, in my opinion, certainly shape the tone of the services for Good Friday.
These are some of the best texts of the year, too, I think.
Yeah, you said that at Advent, too.
I know. Don't remind people of that.
This is my favorite season of the church year.
They're all my favorites.
Joining us by phone today, Matt Mockver, Associate Cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. When it comes to hymnody, we go to our favorite cantors, and Cantor Mockver joining us today to talk about hymns and Good Friday hymns. Matt, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Good Friday.
Yes, and a blessed Good Friday to you, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. When you're looking at selecting music, particularly congregational hymns for Good Friday, where do you begin? How do you begin that process? And I imagine you probably work in collaboration with others, but how do you start that process of choosing hymns?
Oh, well, you know, Good Friday is a very unique day in the church year. I mean, it's the day on which our entire salvation story kind of hinges. And it's also, I think, one of those very well-attended days for many churches. And because of that, not unlike Easter, I'm sure there are some hymns that, you know, just really hold a dear spot in many people's minds and hearts. So there's always something to keep in mind about that. But you also, I think, need to take a close look at texts. There are so many excellent hymns for this particular day in the church here, and really throughout, you know, Lent and Holy Week specifically, too. You know, you really take a close look at the text of those hymns. There are a lot of very lovely Lenten hymns that have texts that are more generic, but some of these hymns for Good Friday are very pointed to the day itself. And I think, at least in my mind, those would take priority on a day like today.
What are some of those hymns?
That's a great question. in my head, and some of these I'm sure will be familiar to your listeners, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded," for me, is one of those quintessential Good Friday hymns. "Lamb of God, Pure and Holy," would be another. And some of the hymns that are a little more ancient, talking about the cross specifically. So, "The Royal Banners Forward Go," or "Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle." "O Darkest Woe" is another great Good Friday hymn. Those would be near the top of my list, and certainly there are many others, too.
What makes those specifically so good for Good Friday in the texts and in the tunes?
Well, let's start maybe with the texts. Any good church musician really should look at the text and start there and then branch out. So we'll do that too. All of these texts deal very specifically with either kind of retelling the events or the narrative of Good Friday or reflecting on some aspect of that day. So if you take a look, for example, at "O Sacred Head," this hymn is really a portion of a much longer a work by Bernard of Clairvaux, a monk who lived before the time of Luther, but in kind of the high Middle Ages. And Luther and others have taken his poetry, his prose, whittled it down and set it to a hymn text and tune. But you have these wonderful, beautiful reflections on the head of Christ. And actually, the entire work by Bernard kind of focuses in on different parts of Christ's body, especially as it hangs there on the cross. but you have these really vivid images of Christ on the cross, sacred head with grief and shame weighed down, scornfully surrounded with thorns, thine only crown. And even at the end of that first stanza, thou despised and gory. Nobody's pulling punches on Good Friday. This is where we come face to face with our own mortality, our own death, because we see it in the death of God himself, the death of Christ. And this hymn does a nice job, I think, of really forcing us to come to grips with that. Another aspect or another thing to consider maybe would be a hymn like Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle or The Royal Banners Forward Go. These are both texts written by a man named Fortunatus, Venatius Fortunatus. These are old texts, and they're really focusing on the cross itself, that instrument of torture that became the instrument of our salvation. The Royal Banners Forward Go very specifically kind of considers what it meant that God himself died on a piece of wood in history, and what that means now for us. And Sing My Tongue does an excellent job of that too, and refocuses our image of the cross from a means of torture, a means of death, into the means of our salvation. So both of those hymns take elements of Good Friday and deal with them a little bit more in by way of imagery and allegory as a way in which we see our own salvation won. So you've got all these different things happening, but the texts are so striking and stark, it's very hard to ignore what they're talking about because they just get right to the heart of the issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And these are hymns that we sing every year, but it can be easy to just kind of sing the words and not really think about it. But when you actually read through the texts, there's it's gory. I mean, there's very specific details in these texts that really make you realize what we're actually remembering about what's happening here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think singing these texts on this day in particular can really drive that home. We have many excellent professors here on campus, but we have one who's just preached through the Passion account of Luke in our chapels earlier this week. And he made the point several times that the hymns and the liturgies of these holy days at the end of Holy Week, the hymns themselves, they're meant to be sung in worship, in the assembly, in the midst of the liturgy, and they actually bring you into the story. And few hymns do that as well as the hymns that we typically sing on Good Friday. And it's a combination of those texts and the tunes, which are dignified and somber, they're austere. But then you think also about singing them, and you're looking around the church, and you see the altar has been stripped bare of any kind of frill. All of the crosses in some places are covered with a purple or a black covering there. The servants, the pastors are in black. It's just a very striking scene. And the hymns just continue to draw us ever deeper into that.
We've talked about the text, and you mentioned a little bit about the tune. Let's dig into that a little bit more regarding the tune. Do you have a favorite tune specific to Good Friday?
Oh, gosh. Man, that's like trying to pick your favorite child. I really don't have one tune in particular, but there are some tunes that, for me, just really hit home. I've always really liked the tune of O Darkest Woe, which is a great hymn to sing, especially at the end of the service on Good Friday, or if you have services on Saturday in between Friday and Easter Sunday. That is a very somber, striking tune. Another tune I think that's in that same vein would be the tune that goes along with Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. Just kind of this slow, pushing forward, minor key type of tune. And it can be very dark. But it's very appropriate for the time in which it's sung. And both of these tunes, I think, they really lend themselves to this day in particular. There are other hymns that you can sing on Good Friday that you can also, like Sarah said before, you can kind of sing them throughout the year. I'm not sure a hymn like Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted or Our Dark, O Darkest Woe, I don't think you can use those at many other times of the year. They are so, both musically and textually, appropriate for the day. Another great tune, which is a more recent tune, both of the ones I mentioned before are several hundred years old, but another tune I really like is the tune that accompanies Sing My Tongue, The Glorious Battle. That tune was written by Carl Schalk, who is still living and writing today, you know, but arguably one of our most prolific Lutheran composers of the last century. And his tune is great. It's a little more upbeat than the other ones, but it retains this minor character and it has a very militaristic type of a feel to it. And again, that's another aspect of Good Friday, you know, that Christ in his humility goes to the cross, but he does so to battle with Satan and to have it out, you know, that last end all battle for the soul of humanity. And so I think that tune, in a sense, captures that in a really unique way, too.
And something my husband pointed out, I'm married to a church musician, so I get a little insight on these things.
Yeah,
when he's mulling over arrangements. One cool thing about Sing My Tongue that I never realized was that if you look at the tune really closely, the moving notes actually create a cross pattern, which is cool.
Oh, that is very interesting.
Yeah, it creates little crosses all throughout the tune. So
yeah, I did not even realize that until you said that, but now I'll see that in a different way.
Yeah, that's really cool. We have.
You just changed my whole day, Sarah.
You can thank my husband when you see him next.
I will.
Do you have any other insights or things that people can be thinking about as they sing through hymns today?
Well, I think the biggest thing is something that was already mentioned, and that is to really take the opportunity to reflect on those texts. And don't do so in a vacuum. Reflect on them as you're sitting there in the church and you're taking in everything that's around you. Again, a lot of folks are probably going to church this evening, after work or something like that. So it's going to be getting dark outside. Kind of reflect on what this day means for Christians. And really, as good Lutherans, we're not thinking so much about ourselves, but we're thinking about Christ. And so you see the darkness of the day starting to wane. And, you know, you're reminded of the darkness that Christ experiences on the cross. And then you're looking at, again, the different vestments or lack of frill and things like that in the church, and then thinking and singing these tunes along with that. These hymns were made to kind of live and breathe in the church's liturgy for this day in particular. And so I would say take some time before you get to church this afternoon or this evening, but then also allow yourself to take a breath and take a step back, even as you're singing them in the context of your own churches tonight. And let these hymns be what they were intended to be, which is little sermons that are going to draw you more deeper into your reflection of Christ's passion and his death for you.
Matt Mockamer, Associate Cantor, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Matt, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
My pleasure. Blessings to you both.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.